Well, tonight we come to verse 51 and verse 52. Verse 51 and verse 52. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Dear congregation, as we walk on down the pathway before us, we will face the derision of men. Well, as we do, let us remember our blessed Lord faced such. Yet he took comfort in the judgments of God, the providential acts of God, and God's word itself. And as we think of walking down the pathway and the derision we will face, how important it is that we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I came to these words in that initial way this morning, I immediately thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can listen to Christ here through the psalmist. The proud have had me greatly in derision. You compare these words with Psalm 69, and you'll see there the connection. Well, how we need to focus on Christ and consider him, how he bore with such, yet he looked forward to the joy that was before him. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 we read, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." As we come to these words tonight and consider this subject, consider Christ, how he endured such, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now the psalmist wrote here, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." Well, let's turn directly now to these words. And we'll consider first of all the righteous man suffering derision. Secondly, the righteous man persevering on. Thirdly, the righteous man taking comfort. The righteous man suffering derision, the righteous man persevering on, the righteous man taking comfort. The proud have had me greatly in derision. David had his enemies who derided him. They mocked him because he believed the truths of God's word. They derided him as he sought to walk in accordance to God's word. Well, David here speaks of the proud. He's thinking of certain ones. Now it is plain that those that were opposed to David were not only opposed to him, but to God himself. For what had David done? He believed the truth. And he had sought to walk in accordance to it. So the opposition was not only against David, but it was against our Lord. They would not humble themselves. They would not bow the knee. And when we are opposed, when we are mocked, it happened just a few days ago for some of us. A young man started speaking out against Christianity as he rode the bike through Ringwood and saw us. It will happen. Well, we need to remember, they oppose our Lord. They will not humble themselves. They will not bow the knee. Now we're told in Psalm 47 verse 2, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." He reigns. He reigns in that sovereign way. He reigns in that general way over all. And so everyone then should be bowing their knee. There's no excuse. "For he is a great king over all the earth. Men should submit to him and bow their knee to their maker." It's interesting, if you turn to Psalm 95 verse 3, we read this, "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." You see here, the psalmist begins by considering the greatness of the Lord and that he is a great king. And then he goes on to consider that the Lord is the maker and all. And he invites others to come. All are to bow down before him. All should be in submission to the Lord. There should be a quietness in Parliament tonight as the whole House gets down on their knees and prays. That's how it ought to be. What a decision has to be made. Everyone should be bowing to the King tonight. There are many empty pews in the churches and chapels of our land. Why is this? New congregations should at this present time be forming. New buildings should be under construction to accommodate the whole nation. Because God is King. All should bow. There should be no opposition. Just think about it. If people obeyed the voice of the Lord, building projects would be taking place up and down our nation to accommodate the people. Yet this is not the case. And one of the reasons for this? It's because of the pride that is lodged in the heart. It's pride. We read in Psalm 10 verse 4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his faults." They will not seek. Yes, they may come across at times as very meek. And we can know certain unconverted men and women, they're very meek. Yet there's pride with them. Because they will not bow down their knee to the Lord Jesus. They will not submit to him. Spurgeon wrote, "Proud hearts breed proud looks and stiff knees. See the effect of pride. It kept a man from seeking God. It is hard to pray with a stiff neck and an unbending knee." They will not submit because of pride. They hate God. They hate Christ. Remember our Lord, when he was declaring the parable of the 10 pieces of money, said this in reference to the Jews, Luke 19 verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" Well, many Jews have said it, and many Gentiles as well. They will not bow in faith, submission and love. Pride lodged in the heart. Let me say again, we meet certain ones and they're very pleasant. But they won't bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is very many a proud man in this country, as there was in David's day. Oh, that men would be humbled by grace. That the mountains would be brought low and the valleys lifted. One would be humbled by grace, and being humbled, lifted by grace, and found in communion and fellowship with Christ. Oh, there are many who are proud. And as we think of this, we shouldn't be surprised then that we are laughed at, that we are mocked. "The proud hath had me greatly in derision." The David speaks here of the derision he faced. We have here the word derision translated from the Hebrew word lutz. And it means to have in derision, to scoff, to mock, to scorn. Well, David speaks of "the proud have had me greatly in derision." It wasn't just a little, just a few smiles. No, he endured such scoffing so often. The word "greatly" speaks of exceeding much. It was something he faced often in his life. They derided him, they mocked him, they laughed at him for believing the truth, for trusting in the Lord. They mocked him for walking in accordance to God's word. "The proud have had me greatly in derision." Dear brothers and sisters, there will be those who will mock you. They'll laugh at you. They'll snigger. They'll raise a cruel smile because you're a Christian, because you're trusting in the Lord, and you're seeking to walk in God's way. There will be mockers in the last days. 2 Peter 3 verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You see, we've been reminded. We need to take note of what our Lord has said, what the apostles have declared. Scoffers will come. Then mock the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now you just think of this. What a great day is coming. The day when the Lord will come, and every man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, that men would take this on board. If they truly did, they would flock to churches and chapels. Yet so many, they just laugh at such things. It's not going to happen. Scoffers will come, and you will be the subject of their derision. It's not easy to be derided, to be laughed at. Young people here, it is a cross you will face again and again. People will laugh at you. They'll be unkind. Yet we must all pray for those who laugh at us. Remember what our Lord said in Matthew 5 verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. And I tell you this, there have been some who were so proud, but they saw the Christian turning the other cheek, showing love, and now they're believing in Jesus. There have been some who have stood back when they've seen how the Christian has responded in a right way, and they want to know the Saviour. Oh, we need to pray for those who mock us. Pray for them, love them, and remember you have a sympathising high priest. These words just so speak of Christ, don't they, here in verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're suffering the ridicule of men, remember your Saviour. Remember he was laughed at. He was opposed. He was contradicted. He was rebelled against. He faced such cruel mockings of men. Psalm 22, verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. See, he delighted in him. They laughed him to scorn. It's not easy to be laughed at. But remember your sympathizing high priest. He knew what it was like to be laughed to scorn. They mocked him for his trust in the Father. They laughed at him for his faithfulness to the law. Remember him. Take comfort. Your Saviour understands. And remember this. When they mock you, they're mocking Jesus. Remember him. When you're mocked, when you're derided, he sympathizes with you. Well, let's consider secondly, the righteous man persevering on. The righteous man persevering on. Notice what the psalmist says at the end of verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. He was laughed at for his obedience to God's law, but he would not decline from it. Yes, we know he failed. He was not perfect, yet he had a love for God's law. After he sinned against the Lord and then humbled himself, he sought that fatherly forgiveness. He again sought with great diligence to walk in accordance to God's word. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You see there, he failed, but oh, he humbled himself and he turned his feet. He'd been going astray, but he was serious. He wanted to so walk in accordance to God's word. His heart was for the work, and we see that here. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Now let's just bring this together. We know he wasn't perfect, but what is he saying here? When he was mocked, laughed at for trusting in God, he carried on. He persevered. He would not be turned. The Hebrew word nartar speaks of to deflect or turn. Well, he would not be deflected. He would not turn. They mocked him. You see, he was suffering affliction. There were times when he was like a fugitive, going from place to place. Where is now thy God? He would not be deflected. He would not turn. He continued on believing in the truth. He continued on resting in the Lord. He continued in enduring. He continued rather in seeking to walk in accordance to God's word. They laughed at him. Poor David. What a foolish man. But he persevered on. George Whitefield carried on preaching, though the people scorned him and mocked him. Yet have I not declined from thy law. He's persevering on. Keep going. You think of those salmon that swim against the current in order to reach their goal further up the river. They keep going. It's not easy, but they keep going. Many may be going in the opposite direction to you. Keep your eye focused. Many will laugh at you for believing the truth. Keep focused. Do not deflect. Do not turn. Keep seeking to perfect holiness. When the world encourages you to wander over to the pleasure houses of sin, keep seeking to perfect holiness. Keep going. Wrestle on. He's laughed at. So many laughed at him. He kept going. He persevered. Yet have I not declined from thy law. You may be the only one in the room, in the workplace, the classroom. Keep going. Wrestle on. Remember those words of Anne Cousin. I've wrestled on towards heaven. Gainst storm and wind and tide, now like a weary traveller that leaneth on his guide. And then there's another verse, and it says this. This verse isn't so well known. I have borne scorn and hatred. I have borne wrong and shame. Earth's proud ones have reproached me for Christ's blessed name. Where God his seal set fairest, they've stamped the foulest brand, but judgment shines like noonday in Emmanuel's land. What he bore for the sake of his blessed Saviour, but he wrestled on. Keep focused, keep going. You may feel there are so many that oppose you, you may feel alone, but remember your Master. He sympathises, and he will not fail you, he will support you. What a blessing to seek to carry on doing that which is pleasing in his sight, It may bring the scorn of men, but it will bring the pleasure of the Lord. Let's have it in perspective. It is only for a few years we must suffer laughter compared to eternity. And for those who die opposing Christ and opposing us, what a miserable eternity awaits them. Let's have it in perspective. Let's rest on the Lord and keep going. Pray for them and keep on walking. Do not slacken, do not turn from doing that which is right. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I'm not for turning. Used to be a prime minister, and she said this: the lady's not for turning. You may be the only one, but Satan, I'm not turning. I'm going to follow the Lord. We're thirdly and finally tonight: the righteous man taking comfort. The righteous man taking comfort. Verse 52 follows on: I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. There were many that opposed him, who derided him. He carried on, and as he did, he remembered the judgments of God. He reflects on the judgments of God, and this was a comfort to him. He considers those judgments that God executed in justice on proud men. Go back to verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. The psalmist would remember what the Lord did with Pharaoh and the Egyptians at the Red Sea. And then the psalmist would remember what the Lord did in Joshua's day with the Canaanites. And he took comfort in this and other occasions. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. As we think of these things tonight, the Lord will deal in justice with those who oppose the church. He will do it for the glory of his name, and he will do it in view of mercy towards his people. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. We're living in a day when so many oppose Christ. The Lord will act. He's not forgotten us. We feel so small as the church in this nation, but we have God on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 verse 31. He will work out his purpose for the good of the church, which includes then, he will deal in justice on the enemies of the church. He will act. Now in acting, there will be some that will be saved. Because through grace, some will be humbled. The mountains will be brought down. Some will be saved. But all here we reflect to the comfort of our soul upon the judgments of God. He will act. People scorn. They laugh at the church. But God has not forgotten. God takes note. And he will act. Let's remember tonight what God has done in times past. Did he forget the children of Israel in Egypt? No. It was a long time, but he never forgot them for one moment. Did he forget the children of Israel when they were in the land of Canaan? No. He went before them. Yes, there were battles, there were hardships, but he remembered them and he dealt with the enemy. He will deal for the good of the church. Well, in conclusion, the psalmist faced much opposition, but he knew comfort as he persevered on. He also knew comfort in light of God's word. And just go back to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He knew the comfort that God would act as he remembered what the Lord had done in times past. He also knew the comfort of God's word. This is my comfort in my affliction. He was comforted that God would act. He was comforted by the Lord through his word when he was derided by men. This is my comfort in my affliction. And the Lord comforts us. How often we've been comforted when we've been laughed at by men. The Lord doesn't fail, does he? He comforts us. We come to a portion of the word and we find comfort in it. Remember those words in John 16 verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's be comforted by the one who has overcome the world. He's made it plain to us we're going to face tribulation. He makes it plain in other places. You remember that account in Luke 14, which if you intendeth to build a tower, doth not sit down first and count the cost. It's good to sit down first and count the cost. Ye shall have tribulation. The Lord's so kind to us, isn't he? To forewarn us. But then he further comforts us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Follow your master. He sympathizes. Follow your master to victory. You are on the Lord's side. He goes with you. He will help you. He will bring you through. We hear the psalmist, he knows comfort in his soul. And have comforted myself. He is comforted. He's laughed at. He's mocked. But he's a comforted man. He knows all is well for his soul. The Lord is king. The Lord reigns. The church will be helped. You as an individual will be supported and you will be delivered. It's hard to bear being laughed at, but it's only for a while in comparison to eternity. And when we think of this, do not our hearts go out to those who laugh at us? We pity them because they oppose Christ, and if they stay in that state, how miserable they will be for all eternity. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted my soul. And as we close, think again of Christ. His heart was set on the law. I delight to do thy will, O my God, Psalm 40. He would not defect or turn from the law, though he was greatly mocked, and he was comforted as he persevered on in accomplishing redemption for you and me. Think of him tonight as we conclude. He suffered so much in order to redeem you. You were precious to him. So he faced what it was to be mocked and laughed at. You were precious. He faced all that. He will not fail you then. He will help you. He will support you. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray.